people that are going over to the nursing home. That's their service. A lot of young people, in their service, you think you've got to have youth stuff. Amen. But when you bring the gospel to those that are in wheelchairs, in the nursing facility, amen, those in that retirement center, I'm telling you, you are doing something great. They love our young people. And I appreciate our youth doing this and our older SALT team, our navigators, taking this. Brother Kessler is our senior saint coordinator. If you're a senior citizen, once a month we have a senior saint fellowship. Brother Kessler, raise your hand. This is our leader. Most church has a young man over their youth. I've been taught never put young men over your young people, but put a person that's seasoned with wisdom over energy. And take that person of energy and put them with people that are seasoned. And our senior saints, when they have their fellowship and food and they enjoy that time, they are helping Brother Kessler and the navigators, which is our young people. They're helping them and blessing them. And I want them to impart to each other, amen, some good things. We're thankful today to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. What an honor. Let me say, one of the greatest heroes, amen, Bible teachers that I love, one of my favorites, is here today. Amen. Brother James Gross, I've known all my life, ever since I was a young boy in Baton Rouge. Amen. He has came and preached and taught to us dynamic times. He's been here several times, two or three times here in Nacogdoches with us behind this pulpit. And I don't take it lightly today that this great man of God is with us. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother Gross, I have notes that I wrote when I was a kid sitting on the front row. Amen. Front row in Baton Rouge when you taught and you preached at camp meetings there and regular services. And I cherish those deeply today. Amen. We are in for a treat today and tonight. Amen. I want you to pray with me right now and lift your hands. And I want you to pray that God would open our hearts and our ears. Amen. Would you pray right now, Lord, let your sweet anointing come today in this place on every soul. God, your word is already anointed. Your messenger is anointed. But I pray for the power of your word right now, God, in this place. Let that unction come, Lord, to hear, to receive, and to apply what you already are doing today. But Lord, through the word and the works of your spirit, we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Brother Crosswhite. And let me say that I surely and truly count it an honor to be able to be here. And I appreciate the invitation. It means a lot because to me, a pastor cannot show another preacher any more trust or confidence in them than to invite him into his pulpit, because this is a sacred place. It's a place where that God has ordained the preaching of the word of the Lord that makes the difference, not just for today or tomorrow, but for eternity that goes on in this place. And so thank you for the honor and the privilege to be here. And to this church, God bless each and every one of you that are here today. And if you'll take your Bible with me, you know, you have to start from where you're at. You can't start from where you used to be. You can't start from where you hope to be. You have to start from right where you're at. Many years ago, when I first started preaching and evangelizing, they didn't have GPSs. We didn't have cell phones. The way we traveled and the way we found our routes was with those Rand McNally big folding maps. You remember those? Before we go, we'd highlight our route that we were going to be traveling, and my wife would have to run co-pilot and follow the map as we went. But that map has to have two points if it's going to be any help to you. Number one point is where you are right now. And the second point is where you are trying to go. You have to have those two points before the map will ever help you, before it will ever be of any use to you at all. So if you don't know where you're at, you sure can't get to where you want to go. And if you just have a point of where you want to go, but again, you don't know exactly where you are at the moment, then again, the map is of no use. So may the Lord help us to do two things, and that is first establish where we are and then determine where we want to go. And I think that surely most everyone here, that as far as the second part, that you are interested in going to heaven to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But again, we're not there yet. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That's why we're here in church. That's why the doors are open, is that it's about us continuing in the things of God. So we're turning to the book of Job here today, in the 36th chapter of the book of Job. We're going to begin reading here in verse 26 of this 36th chapter. And a declaration is being made here. The book of Job, if I'm sure you are somewhat familiar with it, that it's a episode of a man that goes through such trial and tribulation. And through it, there are many mentions of what some believe God to be and how they act. You have the comforters that are there with Job that continually describe God does this and God does that, and Job counters many of those things. And it's a book that not only tells of the trials of Job, but it tells you a whole lot about how God does things, how that he involves himself with us and in our situations of life. And here's a declaration that is made in this 36th chapter in verse 26. "Behold, God is great." Surely everybody can give an amen to that. But that's not a period. "Behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. For he maketh small the drops of water. They pour down rain according to the vapor thereof, which the clouds do drop and distill upon man abundantly." Now let's go back and scrutinize these verses just a little closer here before we go on. I want you to look at the adjectives. Great. God is great. It ends with the word in the 28th verse, abundantly. But in verse 27, you have the word, "For he maketh small." He maketh small. So you have sandwiched between great and abundantly the word small. Now, when we think about God, we can readily and rightfully and enthusiastically get with the adjectives of great and abundant. We have a problem when it comes to equating God to the word small. And that is exactly what Job is speaking of here, is that he begins with a declaration that God is great, but then he makes that right after that. He said, and we know him not. In verse 27, because the reason that it's not talking about so much not knowing God and knowledge, but not discerning God, and not being able to perceive the ways of God, because he maketh small the drops of water. In other words, that we can miss him, this great God, we cannot detect, nor notice, nor pay attention, nor understand that this great God make us small. And with that small, he brings about eventually and abundantly. Great, small, abundant. So to be able to grasp what this writer's saying here, you have to understand not only the greatness of God and not only the abundance of God, but you got to understand the small ways of God too. Praise the Lord. If you don't, it's too easy to miss him. Too easy not to understand what he's doing if you miss the small things of God. Praise the Lord. People clap their hands and get excited when we talk about the great things of God, and we ought, rightfully so. And we talk about the abundance of how that God deals abundantly. But when we begin talking about this little word small, people don't seem to get nearly excited. So we're going to talk today about understanding the small ways of God. Understanding the small ways of God. Let's pray, can we, and ask the Lord to help us. Lord, we do look to you as truly the author and the finisher of our faith. That which you have begun, you will bring to a completion. That all we must do is continue to walk in faith in your ways and continue in the truth of thy word. Lead us ever on, God. Touch this house and this people. Open our understandings that we might perceive the things of God more clearly. And we give you the praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you kindly for your attention. The Bible tells us very clearly that his ways are not our ways, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, as high as the heaven is above the earth, and that's a great distance. So are his ways and his thoughts above ours. In other words, that the things of God somehow are so far out from our ways that we sometimes cannot relate to them and cannot understand them. That is why we have the Bible, so that we not only look at things from our perspective, but we must learn God's eye view and God's perspective of things. I can tell you right off, because that I'm human also, and so are you, that bound up in human nature, all human nature, not just church people, but in mankind, period, that bound up in their human nature is that human nature is impressed by largeness. Oh, yes, they are. There's something impressive about largeness that people pay attention to. Something that is out of the norm, regardless of what it is. People have a tendency to be impressed by that. The larger that the amount of people are, the larger the building, the larger of whatever it is, that it has a way of drawing the attention of our nature that we're somehow innate with. For instance, you can go to the Grand Canyon. How many of you have ever been to the Grand Canyon? In reality, it's just a ditch. But it's a big ditch. Praise the Lord. Not any ditches like that around here. You don't find many people out here on the roadside of this ditch out in front of the church taking selfies with it and saying, I've been to the church ditch. No, but when you get to the Grand Canyon and the enormity of that huge, huge place is awesome. Like the brother was saying, that it somehow awestruck us, that it is something that we take notice of. It's impressive simply because that it's large, simply because it's big. Well, human nature is impressed by largeness. That is why that some people can gauge a church only by the number of people that's in the church. That's not how you gauge a church. You gauge it by its spiritual ability to contact and associate and do the will of God. That is what makes a difference. That's why the Bible said where two or three, not hundred, but two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. Amen. I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad you don't have to have 5,000 people for you. You can count on an association and a move of God. Amen. If two or three are gathered together in His name, there I am in the midst. Praise the Lord. Maybe you have looked through one of those books that's called Guinness's Book of World Records. Anybody ever see one of those books? I was thumbing through one time, looking and reading sometimes of some of the things, the records that were in there. And I was just thumbing through more, looking at pictures, but one of them really caught my attention, so I had to stop and really delve into what this was all about. And the picture was this man standing by this enormous ball. I mean, he is dwarfed by it. He doesn't even come halfway to the height of that ball. It is huge. It is large. And I was struck by what this might be, and so I began reading. And the story of this record-sized ball began with this man that was a farmer, and that when he would go feed his cattle, like I was when we were brought up in my era and generation, that hay bales back then were with twine, not wire, but twine. They certainly didn't have these big rolls you see now. They just had hay bales, and they were bound with baling twine. And what he would do when he went into the places where he fed his cattle, after he cut those twine and broke those bales into the place where he would feed those cows, he would roll up that twine and he would toss it back onto his trailer, not wishing to leave it in the field. And so he got into practice that he kept picking up the same ball and kept winding the twine onto the twine that he had cut before. Until after a while, he started getting a fairly good-sized ball. And he stayed with it until it got to the place that he had to roll it, push it manually to be able to roll more twine to it. And he kept doing that until it got so large he had to have his tractor push it. When he began to add more twine to it, until it grew to it, I forgot the dimensions now, but it was a humongous ball of twine. Twine, I said. It's not gold, not silver, it's hay twine. It was impressive because of the size of it. Now you can say what you want to. You'd be impressed too. And if it was out there in the parking lot, every one of you would either go out there and take selfies with it or you remember it. You could tell 10 years later, y'all saw the ball of twine I saw one day. But if there was a piece of twine this long laying in the parking lot, you'd pay it no attention. It's the same stuff. What makes the difference? Size, the dimensions, the enormity of it, that you would remember that ball, but you wouldn't remember that little 8-inch piece of twine laying in the parking lot, but you'd remember that ball. And you'd remember it probably for the rest of your life, because human nature is impressed by not what something is so much, but by the size of it. We walk by faith and not by sight. That means that anybody can see the obvious. Anybody can see that which is huge or that which is large. That some people never begin to give God credit for anything until that it is overwhelming, until it is out of the norm. But if you're going to be able to walk with God and discern God, you've got to be able to recognize the hand of God even in the small things that take place in our life. Not many people run the aisles over something small, but if something large happens, brother, they're up and at it. That's okay, but I'm telling you, we miss God. That's what Job is saying. Behold, God is great, but we miss him. Or we know him not, because he maketh small the drops of water that fall down from heaven and distill upon man abundantly. If you're going to get to the abundantly, you got to realize that he puts a whole lot of small things together to make an abundance. And if a church doesn't understand that, they won't participate in small things. It has to be something big. It has to be something large. And that's the shortcoming. That's what's so ironic about it, is that we miss him because we don't discern the small ways of God. That's the shortcoming. He maketh small the drops of water, because we like large. Prove it to you again. Because I'm not a big Starbucks fan. But I'll tell you what, in Starbucks and a whole lot of other places, you can't order a small coffee. They don't have a small size. It's venti, grande, tall. They don't have one that says small. You know why? Because the philosophy behind that, who wants to lay down $8 for a small cup of coffee? But give me a venti. Give me a tall, which is a small. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Because you just don't want to say, I want a small cup of coffee. That you want, you feel like you're $10. Amen. It's better spelt on something that said it's grande. Praise the Lord. Just the name of it. But in essence, you're laying down your money for just a small coffee when it's all said and done. But that's the way human nature is. That's the way we're put together. Amen. Because small means less than normal. It means little. It means many. It means diminutive. It means in the synonyms of being insufficient, puny, and trivial. But he maketh small. He maketh many. And there's another scripture in your Bible that tells us emphatically, despise not the day of, what's the word? Small things. Despise not the day of small things. Because if you're going to be able to have a move of God, you got to realize that God puts a whole lot of small things together to bring about an abundance. You have never yet had a move of God in this church that was just an instantaneous, with nobody doing nothing, with nobody, people chewing gums and half asleep, and all of a sudden there was a Holy Ghost explosion in the auditorium. No, I'm telling you, if you trace back the history of every move of God you ever had, it started, it may have been kind of fast, but you started with people praising the Lord. You started with people clapping their hands. You started with people's hearts reaching out to God. It never happens because nobody does nothing. It happens because there's a whole lot of hearts that are getting together. There's a whole lot of mouths that are beginning to pray. And a whole lot of hands clapping unto the Lord. And he puts all those small things together to bring about a move of God. Yes, yes, yes. Praise the Lord. And if we don't understand those small things, we'll begin to despise the day of small things. And that's what Job is saying. This is the reason we don't know this great God, or the reason we miss him, is because we don't understand the small things of God. It says that he lets these raindrops distill upon man abundantly, those small raindrops. If after service today, and you didn't bring your umbrella in here with you, and wherever your car might be, that it became a rain, and in getting to your car, when you finally got in your car, you're drenched from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. You got soaking wet. You know how you got that wet? One raindrop. That rate weighed 250 pounds. Hit you in the top of the head. And drenched you from the top of your head to your socks. No, that's not how you got wet. You know how you got wet? Hundreds and hundreds of tiny raindrops begin to distill or land upon you until you were abundantly wet. And that's exactly what this is saying. And if you don't understand how God can bring a whole lot of small things together to bring about an abundance, you're going to miss him. You're not going to perceive him. You're going to be blind to the ways of God. That's why a church that will only move after something that is so anybody. That doesn't take faith to see the obvious and something that's large, but it takes faith to discern the small things of God. God. Amen. You get enough people doing the right things at the right time, regardless of how little it seems to you, but you get enough people doing it, you can have a move of God. Amen. That brings of an abundance into the things of God. That's how revivals work. One of the most startling situations in the Bible is about this very principle. God has brought Israel out of the lands of Egypt. Now there's no catering trucks to follow them. And you're talking about a couple of million people coming out of Egypt. And they begin to get hungry and they begin to cry against Moses. We need something to eat. Moses talked to God and God told him that tomorrow he would supply them with food and food plenty. And so Moses told those people, tomorrow morning you can expect God to feed all his people. You read it for yourself and look it up. On the morrow, early in the morning, the ground became covered with substances. But when those people got up and looked about them, they're fixing to starve to death in the midst of plenty. Because they, now we call this manna. That's what they called it, manna. But we equate it to angels' food. That's not what the word means. Manna means, what is this? Moses had just told them that in the morning, God's going to supply you with plenty. And they got out. You know what they were looking for? You're talking about 2 million people. And if God's fixing to supply something for them to eat, you're looking for Moby Dick-sized fish on the ground. You're looking for loaves of bread that are mountain-sized. I mean, you're looking for something in such enormity. But on the ground lay, and look what the Bible calls it, a small round thing, as small as hoarfrost. You know how small that is? You know what hoarfrost is? That's that what ices over an airplane's wings, accumulation of multiple millions of hoarfrost crystals that form before, you know, you can't hardly even see them until you get several together. That's how small it was. And they're looking for something big. And they would have starved to death in the midst of plenty. And Moses had to get out there and say, this is the substance that God sent for you to eat. Get down on your knees and scrape together as much as you have need of. Every man according to his appetite. And it came down every day, amen, except on the Sabbath. And on the eve of the Sabbath, they gathered enough for 2 days. Amen. But every other day, you gather enough for that, you and your family. Get as much as you want according to the appetite. Eat as much as you want, but don't save it over because it'll breed worms and stink if you do. Amen. But God's going to supply you every day. And how's he going to do it? With small round things that you didn't recognize as being the miracle of God that was coming down in your life. That's how we miss him, is that we're looking for something too big, too obvious, and we miss him. Let me tell you, a church that knows how to give God thanks, amen, it doesn't take all night for people to begin to say, God's been good to me. Look what the Lord's done in my life. I know he's moving here. I know he's doing this because I saw the small hand of the things of God. Praise the Lord. We are just that way. A master's craftsmanship of painting. I'm talking about a real artist. I'm not talking about abstract nonsense. They had a contest one time, abstract art, in this city. And they had a prize money for those ones the judges would say, this is the finest example of abstract art we've seen. Had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of entries. A zookeeper came up with a brilliant idea. He got a big canvas and carried it into the cage of an orangutan and gave him paint. And that orangutan smeared paint all over that canvas and whatever, and he'd sent that in, signed by Mr. O.R. Tang. It won first prize. People looking at it said, "Oh, I can see the story in this. Boy, I can see the intelligence that's behind this kind of work. Stupidity. Oh, abstract art is stupidity. Praise the Lord. I don't care how much they pay for it. It's still stupidity. But give me a Rockwell. Give me something that looked like they took a picture with a Canon camera. And then I'll give you credit for that. Amen. But in, you know how those men that would make that kind of, looks like a breathing person, that are a landscape that is alive and you can feel the wind blowing in it. You know how they do that? I mean, they got one of them paint roller things and they stick it down in that pan and just do this three times and they got a painting. That's not how it works. If you were standing behind him, amen, you know how he does it? A little touch here and a little touch there. Amen. If you could watch him work for a while, you wouldn't see anything for a while. Just little strokes and little paint here and little paint there. Amen. But he knows what he's doing. If you give it enough time, those little strokes keep adding up unto something that becomes almost alive. And that's the way God does things. It may be a blank canvas, but you let him do his work. Sometimes it's a little here and a little there. Amen. But God puts it all together to bring about a masterpiece. He can work a masterpiece in your life. Amen. If you can just say, "God's still working on me." Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah, there's just so much in the Bible that helps clarify this very principle. In the day that Jesus was teaching, 5,000, that's just men. That's the number of the men. A man, a wife, and one child, that's 15,000 people. So you're looking at a crowd of probably 25,000 people out there on that hillside in Jesus' teaching. And the day got long. And the disciples came and said, "Lord, the people are hungry." And he said, "Well, give them to eat." And they began counting up change. They said, "We got enough here for 10 people. What's that among so many?" But Andrew is out in the crowd. Notice the adjectives in this. Andrew didn't find a catering truck. He found, and this is what the Bible calls, a small, not just a lad, but a small lad. Little boy. That had a small lunch. That had a few small fishes. And a few small loaves. Notice where, and that's in there every time. Small, 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 small. And Andrew comes and brings this lad up to the Lord and said, "Lord, out of all that, just wonder that one boy shows up with a lunch out of 20,000 people. His mama fixed it for him that morning." God always has what he needs in the crowd. And he walks him up to Jesus and said, "Here's a small lad and a small lunch, but what is that among so many?" And Jesus said, "Give it unto me." And he takes that lunch. He doesn't wave his hand over the fish and turn it into a humongous fish. He breaks it even smaller. He breaks the bread even smaller. That small fish he makes in smaller pieces. The bread he makes in smaller pieces. And they keep filling up this and carrying it into the crowd. And the Bible didn't say they just got a little bit to eat. until they were all filled. And then they took up 12 baskets full of remnants beyond that. Because he maketh small to bring about an abundance. Nacogdoches, you need to hear what I'm telling you. That for the revival that you really need, quit waiting on big things to take place. Start giving God praise for one door knock. Amen. One handout. Amen. One witness. Amen. One prayer. Amen. Even these children. Amen. What they're doing. It maybe looks small to you, unimportant. But let me tell you, in the eyes of God, he begins to put a whole lot of small things together. You can have everything that God has promised. If you just recognize that God makes an abundance. This great God makes in abundance by making small sometimes. Yes. Praise the Lord. Cornelius didn't pray one big prayer. The guy said, you know, just hour after hour after hour, and God said, okay, that's enough. That's come up as a more before me, but it was a consistency of praying that his prayer came up as a memorial. Don't ever underestimate power of real prayer. And how long this has been going on, we know not. But I'll tell you this, enough small prayers put together, God sees it as the abundance or the memorial that it begins to be. Too many people, they pray and nothing seems to take place tomorrow, so they quit praying. But you got to keep on keeping on. You got to keep on hitting the altar. You got to keep on coming to the house of God. You got to keep on doing what you need to do. Amen. In those. Amen. That's how God brings about an abundance, is he puts enough small things together. Also, when I was a kid coming up, when it came before school started, you know, what clothes our mother didn't make it on the sewing machine and what you had to buy store-bought, I remember my dad going to the feed store, and my mother would go with him. My dad to select the kind of feed he wanted, and my mother to pick out the kind of sack it was in. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, because back then you could get sacks that had patterns on them, cloth sacks. And when they poured the feed out, that became shirts. Well, yeah, some of y'all so city slick, you don't know what I'm talking about at all. Wore many a feed sack shirt our mother made. That's just the way it was. But there's some other things she couldn't make. So he went to the department store, and she'd pick out clothing that for the season to come to school that was still months away. Didn't have credit card. My folks never had a credit card. There wasn't no such thing. But you know what you could do? She'd pick out those clothes and carry it to the back counter of the store, and that was the layaway counter. Now it's yours. They put your name on it, but you don't get to carry it home today. You just put it on layaway. And every week or so, she'd go in there and lay down two or three more dollars on that layaway, and they kept the books there, again, not on a computer, but in a ledger. Until the day you could go in and you could possibly owe $1 on it to have the whole sum. Pay that dollar, and they give you all that you've had on layaway all this time. But you couldn't possess it. You couldn't have it until you kept paying the layaway money on it all the way down. Let me tell you, this church has some things on layaway. You need not give up. Amen. That soon you can have it over the counter if you keep paying the price of faithfulness, if you keep praying, if you keep believing, you keep giving and keep pushing on. Amen. You know, my mother could have walked up there and paid a dollar, and somebody that doesn't have any knowledge of what this system is could see my mother pay $1 and get this stack of clothes, and that guy walk up there with $2 and say, give me twice as much. No, you don't understand. Amen. That's not the way this works. Amen. They've been paying, amen, months down the road here. $2, $3, $5. Amen. For you to get it, you got to keep on paying, amen, consistently to it. Because you can have the abundance if you keep up with the small payments. Amen. Let me tell you, church, your prayers are not dead. They don't just evaporate. But God, your tears are not gone. God said he puts it in a bottle, amen, that he knows them. Keep on hitting this altar. Keep on believing God. Keep on searching for the things of God. Amen. There's more souls that need to be baptized in Jesus' name. There's more souls that need the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the only way a church can ever get that is to keep on keeping up with the small things. Don't miss him, because the revival flood, if you have out in West Texas, they have flash floods. I mean, it can come roaring down through there. But you know what those floods are made up out of? Multiplied thousands of raindrops. But you don't see them as that, do you? You see it as a one object, one wall of water, but it's a composite of many small things, many small drops that went in to bring about that torrent of water. It's really kind of disappointing to see in a church where that you got to have God shake you like a rag doll before you ever get in the program. Sitting there like Elijah that never got a kiss. Poor old Elijah. Put your note down in just a second, would you? Just lay it down there off the side. I want you to help me here just a minute. I want you to clap your hands to the Lord. Just not nobody else, nobody, just him. Good, thank you. That's good. I want you to join him this time. You clap your hands with him. Go ahead. That's a little better, huh? But that's the same thing you was doing before, but now you got another one, makes kind of things are getting a little louder, huh? How about this whole section here kind of clap with him? Come on, put your hands together. One, two, three. All of them just a hand clap, but it's getting better all the time, isn't it? Come on, this group over here, put your hand here. How about this group over here? Now, you know what that sounds like? That sounds like rain. Amen. But it's a whole lot of one-hand claps going together to make a crescendo of praise unto the Lord. Amen. That's what a church needs to do. Get it together. Do it all together. Lift your voice. Come and praise him and with the abundance of your heart. And when you put it together, this one man, his heart can be in that, and I'm glad. But there's something about it when you get two to join, or three to join, or five, or 15, or 20, or get a whole church to join. It's still just one hand clap, but it's multiplied until it sounds like a falling rain of an abundance of praise. We don't want to miss God. Amen. That's why I worship. You got to just keep adding the drops. Keep adding the prayers. Keep adding the worship. Keep adding the hand knocking, the doors. Keep adding the witnesses to people on the street. Just keep on doing what it may look insignificant. That's what small means. Small, insignificant to some people, but not to God, because he maketh small the raindrops that do still upon man abundantly. He could have sat down raindrops, like I said, it weighed 500 pounds. Or just in one big drop to water the earth. But he didn't. He sent it down in little drops that drench and can bring about again a flood if enough small things get together. And that's how it works, to understand the small ways of God in a church. You have to be doing the small things. Don't let the enemy tell you what you're doing is insignificant and it doesn't add up to anything. Not maybe to you and not maybe to others, but to God. If there's enough small things going together, then he's able to make that composite until it becomes a victory of an abundance in a church. Please, I've been to too many churches where you had to cheerlead them to death. And I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be a cheerleader. Get up and turn around three times and say, praise the Lord. Amen. Or turn and tell your neighbor, get with it. And all that kind of stuff until, you know, they go through all type of things to try to energize people. But, you know, Brother Crosswhite was talking about the flashing lights and the smoke machines and all that kind of junk. And that's not what God's into. He's interested in simple folk. Amen. Praising and worshiping and magnifying and praying and seeking God. And no devil can stand against a church that knows how to worship, that knows how to everybody get with the program. Everybody get with the praying. Everybody get with the giving. Everybody get with what's going on. Let's stand, would you please? Behold, God is great. And hardly we should agree. Amen, amen. God is great. But he went on to say, but we know him not, or we cannot able to perceive him, because he maketh small. He trips us up. That this great God suddenly starts doing small things. And we look past small things because they're insignificant. And we miss the hand of God. And we miss the power of God. Because before you get to the abundantly, you got to understand all them small things went together to make the abundance. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, there's enough saints in this building, enough good-hearted people that want the will of God, that the devil would have a breakdown if you ever just started thanking God. Every once in a while in testimony, when you pray, you know, how often do you thank God? Just, you know, he cured your cancer. Wonderful that he saved you from this very obvious incident that you were in. But how many things in the background are going on that God's putting together? And when a church begins to see the small things moving in the will of God, you can say, thank God he's, you know, that soul you're praying on for, they look like they're getting further from God instead of closer. That you start saying, God, I know you can touch that heart. And sometimes, you know what he does? He draws them by cords. Not with a chain, but he draws them by cords, a little string at a time. Amen. Keep on, God. Keep on keeping on. Keep on talking to him. Keep on moving on their heart. Few people ever came to God over one exceptional thing in their life that came because of many things that God began to work in their life. Amen. A word here, touch there, a thought there. But God puts it all together till it begins to be an abundance of the presence of God in your life that says you need God more than you need anything else in life. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands. Could we? Come on, let's lift our hands and say God is great. But he make us small, and we're going to be thanking him for the small things that he does, because he's going to bring about an abundance through all the small things he puts together. Even, yes, God does many instantaneous, very obvious, very, very collective, obvious, great things in a moment of time. But there's other things he works on a little bit at a time. But he knows what he's doing. Would you lift your hands and let's love him. Let's try to say, God, teach me to understand your small ways. Keep me, let me discern, let me see, let me feel, let me know, and let me praise you for the small things of life, not just for the big things. Can you do that? Come on, let's talk to him here.
Come on, give God that little attention right now. Come on, this little bit of time right now. Hallelujah. Give the Lord that little praise and honor. Hallelujah, that you can. Come on, there's great things that's going to happen in the Holy Ghost today, because somebody's giving the Lord that praise for what he's doing. Hallelujah. Come on, you want to honor God? Get out of your chair. Come to the front. You need something from heaven today? You need some abundance? Come on, take a little time for God right now. Amen. Step out. Step out. Hallelujah. Say, God, I owe it to you today. I owe to you today that praise. Amen. Won't you lift your hands and come on, take a little honor. Amen. And give it to the Lord God Almighty. And this, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost beginning to flow on somebody. Amen. Come on. God has that abundance for you right now. Don't hold back. Don't hold back a bit today. Amen. The King of Kings is here. Amen. Hallelujah. Who wants to give abundance? Amen. Come on. Let him give that abundance to you today. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. There it is. Hallelujah. Somebody's getting a touch right now. Just that little touch of the Holy Ghost, because you've given him a little of your time and attention. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you pray with that one next to you right now? Amen. And let the Holy Ghost use you. Let the Spirit of God go ahead and connect to God right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I hear the sound of abundance of rain this morning. Even the Holy Ghost is wanting to rain all over this place. Hallelujah, the rain of the Holy Ghost is here today. Hallelujah, let the Holy Ghost rain. Hallelujah, come on, let the Holy Ghost rain. You gotta let God do what he wants to do today. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. By the Spirit of the Word. Hallelujah. By the Spirit of the Word. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the Word of the Lord. We've heard the Word today. Now, amen. Come on. Let God have his way. Give God that liberty right. Somebody open the door. You just open the door right now and watch what God would do. Just an opening for God. Amen. Is all he's asking today. And he would come in like a flood. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Open that door. The flood of the Holy Ghost wants to come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You need something from the Holy Ghost right now. You need to be healed in your body. Amen. The Lord God is in this place to heal. The Lord God is in this place to feel. The Lord God is in this place to give direction. In the name of the Lord God Almighty, you need him. Open the door. Open your heart. Open the door. Amen. Of your heart and let the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of your word, Lord God, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord, reach to the Lord with me right now, hallelujah. Don't be distracted, don't be easily distracted this morning. Amen. Give God your attention, give God your affection, give God your availability, and watch what he would do for you. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the word of God. Hallelujah, the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, just say that loving name right now. Amen. Say that loving name right now. Amen. Come on, find it. When you just whisper that name, amen, just a small measure of a whisper, amen, the spirit, the anointing of God comes. Hallelujah, victory comes. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I have promised. Yes, I have given to those that know how to wait, those that know how to seek, and those that know how to search out my glory, those that seek my face, and those that follow me. I will give and I will bless. I am giving to the seeker. The seeker shall find. Come on, will you push everything aside right now? The priority is the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Push everything aside. Even the priority is the Holy Ghost right now in this place. Hallelujah. Not a healing, not anything else. I want you to push aside. Come on, I want you to get what God has. Amen. What God is wanting to give over right now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Come on, God's wanting to take and eradicate the spirit of depression right now. Amen. Somebody, anxiety and stress and depression. Amen. The Holy Ghost is wanting to eradicate it today. Amen. By the power of his spirit. But it comes when you just let God. Amen. When you give God just a little bit of attention and watch what he would do. Give him a little bit of love and worship. Watch what he would do. Amen. You that are depressed, bothered by the spirit of oppression and stress and anxiety. Amen. Would you give God that attention right now in the name of the Lord? Go ahead and worship him. Amen. Won't you lift your hands? somebody and just say, God, I surrender. God, I've been trying to handle this on my own. God, I've been surmounted with big things, God. But I surrender to you, Lord Jesus. I give you me, God. I open my heart. Come on, can God prove to you right now? Come on, let him prove to you that he loves you. Come on, let him prove to you that he's still in control. Come on, let him prove to you right now that he is real. Come on, all your doubts can be eradicated right now by the hand of the Lord God. Amen. You just allow it, God, right now. Hallelujah. You just allow God. You just give God, amen, just a chance, right? Just a chance. Amen. Hallelujah. Just give God a chance. Amen. You give everything else a chance in life. Why can't you give God a chance this morning to let him prove? Amen. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost will eradicate every spirit, everything, every hindrance in your life, every chain, every bond, everything of heaviness. Hallelujah. Rabba Kobo Sarai. Holy hallelujah. 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 Rabba Sarai. Come on, don't resist the Holy Ghost. Just give the Lord liberty. Come on, give the Lord liberty today. Don't resist. Amen. Give the Lord liberty right now to minister to you. Just give him liberty. Give him that liberty. Hallelujah. Give him that liberty. Don't resist. Come on, saint. Let the Holy Ghost, even you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be distracted. Don't let something so small distract you from something so great. Hallelujah. Get a hold of what God is trying to give over. Hallelujah. I love it. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you.